Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
You said that the media only was there for one day, and they were there for one day at OTAs. Not full contact, not full practices. I'm fielding calls here at the Fanatic from people telling me that Kenny Pickett should be the damn starter at quarterback.
That's Ed Kratz's fault.
Dude, it was May 25th, literally.
Welcome back in, everybody. Birds 365, joined now by Bill Colarulo. I hope everybody had a peaceful Memorial Day weekend. As I said at the top of the show, remembering all those who have passed, for us to be able to sit here and talk Eagles with you on this Tuesday morning. But joined now by Billy C. Bill from 97.5 The Fanatic. Bill, how you doing, man?
Oh, good. How you guys doing today?
Doing well. Good to see you, Bill. See you in the studio. When are you on today? Always asked.
Yeah, 10 to 2 today. Covering for... A lot of people take off for Memorial Day, so
yeah,
I'm hosting today. So. Yeah,
you get a double shot of Billy C. Once he's done with us, you go over to 97.5, the Fanatic. Listen to him there. Memorial Day, is this the last time I'm going to see you as a single guy, Bill? You have the weight of the world looks nothing. It's not on your shoulders. You're going to be a married guy. Yeah,
I get married on Saturday, and then I'll be off to the honeymoon in Aruba. That's what I'm looking forward to.
So that it's going to start great, and it's going to finish great. That's what I'm going to predict with Bill Colarulo. So congratulations.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm going to miss the mandatory mini camp, though. First one under Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, first one. And we're 101 days from Sao Paulo, Brazil, Eagles, Packers. That's how close we are. Everything's creeping up. We're going to have a mini camp next week, on-field OTAs. I think everybody got to take a little bit of a pause, Bill, over Memorial Day and take in what went on that first on-field OTA. I'm going to go to Bill Barnwell from ESPN because Bill is in my camp and is kind of like, all right, might be the stick in the mud, but you know, let's pump the brakes here. He mentioned the offense and the way they built it. He mentioned the shocking nature. That might be a little bit too harsh of a word, that the Eagles paid a running back, Saquon Barkley. Mentioned this 3.9 yards per carry last season, the significant injury history. The hit rate on second contracts for running backs is very low. You have all that, plus you lose Jason Kelce. And it's ironic, Bill, that the two positions they aren't paying on offense are right guard and center, because you have Cam Jurgens on a rookie deal, Tyler Steen on a rookie deal. Those are the biggest question marks. Are we overrating this offense?
I don't think we're overrating the offense. I think that you can't expect Cam Jurgens to be Jason Kelce, but there's probably no Jason Kelces in the NFL right now. You know, I mean, you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, Humphreys is a pretty good center, But we were spoiled here having a center that was that good. That's usually not a position you invest a ton of money in. There's a reason why left tackles get drafted in the top of the draft in the first round. Centers don't. So as much as we love Jason Kelce, and he's a legend in this town, I don't think you need your center to be as good as Jason Kelce was for this offense to do well this season. And yes, right guard becomes an issue, but I'm excited to see Cam Jurgens in his natural position. Right guard, can Tyler Steen be the guy at the right guard position? If not, what's the answer there? Is it Matt Hennessy? Is it the rookie, Trevor Keegan? You know, so we'll see what happens, but I don't think we're overrating the offense. I think that when you have that many skilled position players and you have a Kellen Moore who's going to be able to figure out ways to take advantage of all those weapons, we saw him do it before. We're not asking him to do something he hasn't already done. He had the number one offense in Dallas when he was there. So I don't think we're overrating it. I'm excited to see the offense. I think that the main issue, and you probably would agree, isn't going to be the offense this year. It's going to be the defense. And last year we thought, well, the offense will be good enough that it won't matter how bad the defense is. It won't matter that you let both of your linebackers walk. You let both of your safeties walk. The offense is going to be so good, it won't matter. Didn't really work out for us.
Bill, how good does the defense have to be for that to not take place this year? Me and Johnny Mack have talked about this a little bit this offseason. They're not going to be a top five defense. They don't have the talent on the roster to be a top five defense. But how good do they have to be to win enough ball games or to cover the difference from the offense? Is it top 15? Is it top 10, top 20? Where do you think Vic has them playing this year? And what does he need to have them playing at for them to be successful?
Well, history would tell us that they'd have to be top 10 to go to the championship game, because they've never been to an NFC championship game not being in the top 10. Now, that may be a lofty goal to go from 30th to top 10. I would be happy if they could just finish in the top half of the league. If they could be in the top 15 of the NFL, I do think that the offense can be good enough. But for me, I'm more concerned about the takeaways, because you look at the 2022 team, and not only did the offense do a really good job of protecting the football better, the defense tore away a lot more. So you were able to finish as a +8 in the turnover differential department. Last year, with the offense turning the ball over, the defense not taking it away as much, you finished as a -10 turnover differential. So I could probably tell you nothing about last season. You could watch zero games last season. And if I told you, hey, they went from a +8 to a -10, you would say, wow, probably not as good of a season. So I need to see this defense be more opportunistic in creating turnovers. And I think they've done a good job at adding pieces who can do it. All Chauncey Gardner-Johnson has the ability to get interceptions, create turnovers. I think some of these young players will be able to do that, but I think a lot of it does start with our front four getting pressure. So we have to hope that Bryce Huff can be more of a every down back, that Nolan Smith can take that leap. But if these guys can get pressure on the quarterback, it'll have that ripple effect throughout the defense, and what I hope causes more takeaways.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Bill, because I agree with you. And you mentioned that would be a monumental leap to go from 30 to 5, but they went from 3 to 30.
Yeah,
good point. If you want to look at it from the perspective that's kind of amazing that they fell from 3 to 30. And I think you're right. I've kind of mentioned the only difference between the 2022 offense and the 2023 offense was the turnovers. Really?
Yeah.
In situational football, this shocks people all the time. Third and fourth downs, they were actually better than the 2022 team, but they didn't take care of the football nearly as well. And when you turn it over, that affects so many things. You're obviously off the field. And when you're off the field, that means your defense is back on the field. And that means bad things can happen to the defense, short fields, things of that nature. So I think playing a cleaner game is, you know, priority number one. And by the way, to Kellen Moore's credit, when people are talking about the motion and the bunches and the more Jalen Hurts under center, When he got asked what's the most important part of your offense, he said clean operation, which means execute Don't turn it over. Just do what you're supposed to do. I really think it boils down to that, and that'll help the defense. But CJ's an interesting guy from this perspective. A lot of Eagles fans, and I get it, believe me, they have turned the page on Avante Maddox because he can't stay on the field. Well, CJ Gardner-Johnson, when he was here, missed 5 or 6 games with that lacerated kidney. Fluky injury. Not saying he should have been on the field, obviously. And then last year, he tears his pec in week 2. Ironically, the same week that Avante Maddox tore his pec in week 2. And entire season in Detroit was basically wiped out. He managed to make it back like Avante late in the season, but wasn't effective, wasn't a part of the rotation that much. Why is the assumption that CJ is going to be durable and Avante is not going to be durable?
It's a good question, and it's not just Chauncey Gardner-Johnson on that back end. Reed Blankenship hasn't stayed healthy in 2 seasons. We haven't seen him play a 17-game season. We haven't seen Sidney Brown. I know he's only a rookie, but he got hurt at the end of last year, tearing his ACL. So you look at the entire safety group, there's no guarantee that any of these guys are going to be able to stay healthy for a 17-game season. That's why I think last week we were talking about, I'd like to see them maybe bring in somebody in that room. Now, I know they did try at OTAs last week. They had Avante Maddox play a little bit back there at safety.
Yeah, add another injury guy to the
room. Yeah. So you just got a lot of potential injuries on that back end. But you're right. If we're going to say, hey, we can't rely on Avante, well, can you really rely on some of these other guys? Now, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, it was 2 weird injuries. The laceration of the kidney or the liver? Which one was it? I always forget.
Kidney.
The kidney. So he lacerates his kidney, then he tears his pec. A little bit weird injuries, but I think it's also because, and this is what we love about him, he throws his body around. So you have the potential of getting those injuries. It's the same reason why I have concerns about Sidney Brown staying healthy. He throws his body around. So it is a big question mark on the defense. In fact, one of the topics I wanted to talk about today on the air was, we keep talking about all the question marks on this defense. Well, let's look at it the opposite way. Are there any sure things on this defense? Because you got Darius Slay, who's 33. Everybody's excited about Jalen Carter, but we don't know if he can do it for a 17-game season. I think he can. But really, I look at the defense, and I'm done asking, wow, what are the question marks? And I'm going to start asking, well, what are the sure things? Because I'm not sure there are any.
Yeah, I mean, if CJ Gardner-Johnson goes down like he has both times in the last 2 seasons, it's the same defense. Except you're relying on more rookies than you were last year with James, assuming James Bradbury is out the door.
I think there's more order
for Vic Fangio, though.
I think there's more upside to this defense than there was last year. Like, I think the ceiling is a lot higher when you've added a guy like Devin White. Now, Devin White, major question mark. But if Vic Fangio can get him playing at a high level, the ceiling's very high. We know he's
hope
got
is
all
not
the
a strategy, Bill Cole.
No, hope is not a plan. Yeah. That is correct. But if he can, but I do think the ceiling's a lot higher when you look at the players and the personnel on this defense compared to last year. Like, you looked at the linebackers last year in Nick Morrow and Zach Cunningham, Shaq Leonard. You know, if Devin White can start playing to that top 5 talent that he was when he got drafted, if N'Kobe Dean can stay healthy and be the guy he was at Georgia, and then talking about the safeties, if all these guys stay healthy, if these corners take a step forward, even the look, everything we're hearing is Isaiah Rodgers looked good. One day of OTAs, but he looked good. Quinyon Mitchell, can he make the transition? So there's a lot more upside. You know, can Bryce Huff be a replacement for Hassan Reddick? Can Nolan Smith show he's worthy of that 30th overall pick? A ton of ifs, but there is a lot more upside, in my opinion, than you had last year's defense, but certainly no guarantees.
Yeah, with Isaiah, it's funny. I mean, we can only talk about what we saw. We were in there for one day. We'll be in there for one day later this week, and one of them was Isaiah Rodgers. And I think we were all pretty impressed. From my standpoint, it was, you know, the guy hasn't been on the field in over 500 days. So yeah, you expect to see some rust, and he looked pretty confident in what they're doing, which is not real football. But, you know, I don't even – Go ahead, Bill.
You said that the media only was there for one day. And they were there for one day at OTAs. Not full contact, not full practices. I'm fielding calls here at the Fanatic from people telling me that Kenny Pickett should be the damn starter at quarterback.
That's Ed Kratz's fault.
Dude, it was May 25th. Literally, May 25th. Well,
by the way, Ed is right, but nobody read. Well, see, what happens is nobody read. And read the title of Ed's column was 10 overreactions to OTAs. Yeah,
overreactions. Nobody reads that part.
Yeah, nobody reads that part. And then somebody else aggregates it and says, and I said the same thing on the show, and I wrote the same thing. Kenny Pickett was sharper than Jalen Hurts on the one day of OTAs, and I put in all the context.
Yeah.
A.J. Brown was the only, top tier. Devontae wasn't there. And, A.J.'s not doing a ton. He was out there early, but you're
Joseph
not
going Joseph Ngata was the starting outside receiver.
Joseph Ngata was the outside receiver. So Kenny, in a lot of ways, Kenny had a group that was more discernible as second teams. Plus, Kenny Gainwell, guess what? Kenny Gainwell was sharper than Saquon Barkley as well. Maybe that had to do
Kenny
with
and Kenny. Kenny yeah. and Kenny, that's the offense
Kenny
going
Kenny,
forward.
The Kenny and Kenny offense.
But I was losing my mind, John. And then I said who called? I said, are you serious right now? I'm as serious as a heart attack. And then he went on to compare that the Steelers failed Kenny Pickett because if they would have built around him the way the Colts built around Peyton Manning, I said, whoa. So now you're comparing Kenny Pickett to freaking Peyton Manning? I can't take our fan base sometimes, man. I love us. But at the same time, May 25th, and we're calling
for the backup quarterback. Here's what I say about Kenny Pickett. If he has to play a game or two, and you don't want that, if he has to play a game or two, I think the Eagles will be better equipped to win a game or two than they would have been with Marcus Mariota. So I do think it's a slight upgrade, but it's very early in the process, and we'll see him in training camp. But, yeah, he looks sharp. In OTAs, one day in May, it doesn't mean that much.
But I liked the move because what you're saying is, look, the whole point of a backup quarterback is if your quarterback, your starter, goes down for a couple of games, you want to have a serviceable backup that can come in and steal you a game or two. We still have the visions of Nick Foles going crazy and win us a Super Bowl. That is not a likely scenario. You want to have a backup that can come in and that can win you a couple of games when your starter's out for a small period of time. And I think Kenny Pickett can do that.
Yeah. You should know that better than the Philadelphia Eagles fans. I mean, we got one Super Bowl. It came from about
Carson Wentz was en route. No guarantee he was going to finish it, but certainly was going to be in the conversation to be MVP of the NFL. And you have people who watch that. And I get it. I mean, they won the Super Bowl. Nick deserves all the credit in the world. But if you think he's the starter from week one through the Super Bowl and the Eagles win the Super Bowl.
No.
Boy, I got some nice real estate, nice bridge to tell you.
Love Nick Foles. We'll always love Nick Foles. But he was never able to duplicate that success or replicate it, I should say. When he was a starter from the whole season, he was such a good, like even the next year in 2018, people still ask the question, if Alshon Jeffrey doesn't drop that ball, what happens in that playoff run? But that was Nick Foles coming on late after Wentz got hurt again. You know, he couldn't do it from the beginning.
You know what, Bill? People tend to forget that Carson wasn't ready at the beginning of that season. And it wasn't great.
It wasn't a great start.
To put it mildly, Nick was not playing great. And I don't want to re-legislate that, but
it's still amazing though. Every time we bring up Nick Foles, you got to go back and remember talking about fans asking for Kenny Pickett. If you remember correctly, the end of the season before the playoffs start, Nick didn't look great in those two games, and people were calling for Nate Sudfeld. Fans wanted Nate Sudfeld to start the playoffs.
To the point, Bill, that and this was written about extensively at the time, and we all wrote about it. Doug said, we got to scrap everything. And he went to Frank and John DiPilippo specifically and said, find out what Nick is comfortable doing and we got to rebuild this thing. And it worked out better than anybody could have expected.
Run. Yeah. What a run. Still incredible.
Yeah. It really is, because, you know, I wrote about that for some reason the other day. When you talk about injuries and you talk about winning a Super Bowl with a backup quarterback, the Eagles lost their best left tackle. It was not Jason Peters. It was Halapuli-Batibaitai. They lost their best linebacker, Jordan Hicks. They lost their best special teams player, Chris Maragos. Who else am I forgetting?
Sproles got hurt.
It was unbelievable. Darren was always hurt. So, but to an extension late in his career. And we talked about it with Doug, and that's when Doug said, it's not necessarily injuries at a particular position. It always hurts. But if you get multiple injuries at the same position, that's when you're really in trouble. You can kind of persevere, not to that degree. If you would have told me the Eagles won the Super Bowl with a backup quarterback, I would tell you you're crazy. And
if people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water. Enjoy. And watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
They were able to do it, but, and that's when we talk about the slot. We talk about that 3-30 plunge, which is so rare. And they just kept using body after body. And it started in the preseason. Zach McPherson, who was going to be the backup, got hurt before Abonte. And then Abonte gets hurt. And they try Mario Goodrich. And he stinks up the joint. And they say, hey, Sean Desai's worst idea, probably why he's not a defensive coordinator. Let's move James Bradbury inside. That screwed James up inside and outside. And Bradley Roby, they sign him, comes in, and then he gets hurt. And then Sidney Brown's playing out of position. Eli Ricks is playing out of position. They used 9 bodies in the slot last year. It's astonishing in some ways they weren't 32nd in defense.
Yeah, 31st.
Yeah.
31st in passing defense.
Yeah. It's you can't overcome that. I mean, what do people expect? You just lose 4 nickel corners and you got a 5th one hanging on the tree outside at the NovaCare complex?
Yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy. Well, that's why we have to hope, first and foremost, that they're able to stay healthy this year. Because they have in the 2022 season, they were very lucky when we had, what, all 22 starters in the Super Bowl?
There's always a level of luck that's needed to succeed in the NFL.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, yeah, hopefully these guys on defense, we need a couple of things. We need them to stay healthy, and we need them to take a massive leap forward in skill set on a lot of these guys. We haven't seen it yet. We haven't seen N'Kobe Dean yet. Even if he's healthy, even if N'Kobe Dean's healthy for 17 games, I'm not ready to say, yes, he's going to be the guy he was at Georgia. We haven't seen that yet at the pro level.
No, I think even if N'Kobe Dean is healthy, he's not going to be that. That's just my opinion, but I haven't seen anything from him, and I'm not going to bank on that. But Bill, you talked about staying healthy. Me and Johnny Mack have been talking about this for a while. Devontae Parker retires last week, and it kind of highlights, boy, if A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith, if one of these guys happened to go, I'm not talking about wide receiver 3 in the slot.
No, you're
right.
I'm
talking about, like, Joseph Nada. I guess they signed John Ross. Maybe he's an option. I mean, I don't think
Ross even makes the team.
Yeah, we got Grand Canyon, you know, falling off one of those guys goes back. Maybe they bring someone in. Mecole Hardman's out there. Is someone like that fit this team?
They're going to have to, I think, because you saw it simply with Devontae Smith not being there that day of OTAs. Your starting outside receiver wasn't
the starting starting quarterback because Devontae Smith wasn't at OTAs.
Yeah,
Kenny Pickett better. Yeah,
but so yeah, I think they probably will have to go out and bring somebody in because you got to hope that these guys don't go down because you don't really have anybody that I could see filling in on the outside. Now I'm excited to see what Anaya Smith, he's a 5th-round rookie, but I'm excited to see what maybe he could do in the slot. But he's not the answer at outside corner or outside receiver. You know, Johnny Wilson, who they drafted, isn't the answer, in my opinion, at outside receiver. So I wouldn't be shocked if they went out, but it is slim pickings right now. You mentioned Mecole Hardman. Who else is really available that they could maybe bring in to help at that outside receiver spot?
Yeah, I mean, Hardman's not great, but at least you saw him contribute in a big spot. Now it's the Chiefs, and they have Mahomes, but he did contribute down the stretch last year for them in the Super Bowl.
Bill, I'm gonna prepare you. Get ready for the Johnny Wilson hype when training.
Oh, he's going to be the training camp darling. I talked to our boy Andrew DiCecco about this. Like, you know, the moment he makes that big catch, everyone's going to be like, Johnny Wilson. Because he's big and he's probably going to make some plays in preseason. Everyone's got to calm down.
Carlton Agudosi, look him up. Femi Moma, look him up. People love big receivers in training camp. They love because they make a contested catch and everybody goes, wow.
Well, I was all excited. What was this? A few years ago. Was it Dorian Green Beckham when he came
here?
I'm like, they're gonna unleash him. They're just gonna tap into that talent. That never worked out.
Yeah. Well, Doriel had a ton of talent, at least. Those were undrafted guys I just mentioned. Johnny's a 6th-round pick. They traded for Doriel Greenback. I mean, he was in the plans. He was supposed to be a part of the offense, but obviously it didn't work out.
Was it Doriel Greenbeckham who they dialed up that 4th-and-1 from the goal line play for?
Yes.
He had one target. That was it all year?
Yeah.
That was ridiculous.
That's one of those where you're out thinking to yourself, you're trying to pull, well, there's no way they're going to throw it to him.
And they did,
which is, and that was ironic because do you remember who the Eagles traded to Tennessee for Doriel Green Beckham.
If I'm not mistaken, this is going off memory. Was it Dennis Kelly, the offensive
line? It was Dennis Kelly. And who was back last year? Dennis Kelly was back last year. So I have to look up. It was like 2016. They traded him for Doriel Green Beckham. And everybody was like, well, you just traded Dennis Kelly. And meanwhile, you know, Doriel was out of the NFL. That was his last stop here. And then he was out of the NFL.
And Dennis Kelly
was still plugging along and was back with the Eagles last season. It was pretty amazing. So, yeah. You know what that tells you? The splash of the skill player. Everybody loves the skill players.
Well, that's because we got that fantasy football mentality, John.
Yeah. Well, everybody does. That's not
even the NFL has it now. Everybody's got the skill position.
It doesn't move the needle when you say, "Oh, we signed this guard," but it really moves the needle when you sign a Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, I mean,
and it really has moved the needle. That's kind of my point. That's why I started this conversation with Barnwell, who wrote, "It's like it really moves the needle," and it's like all the hype is centered on this one guy.
Well, the Eagles know what they're doing, John. So leading up to free agency, all of the conversation here in the chat, on the radio, a lot of people were being negative about the Eagles. The moment they signed Saquon Barkley, everything changed.
Is it about PR? They won the PR battle. I'll give you that.
I don't think that's the only thing they're concerned about, but I do think that Howie Roseman has his finger on the pulse of this city, and he knows what to do to get the vibes in the city and everybody chatting up again.
But his job is difficult because sometimes the city is wrong.
But that doesn't mean Howie's good with the pitchforks and the torches coming out. Howie doesn't like that.
But look, and I'm not saying that the Saquon Barkley move was just a PR move. It turned out to be a good one, a good PR move. But what I liked about it, and I think we've talked about this before, is when you got receivers like Darnell Mooney getting the amount of money that he got from the Atlanta Falcons, it didn't make sense for them to go out and spend that type of money to bring in a third wide receiver. Instead, of what they did is they spent that money on a Saquon Barkley and basically looked at it as we're adding a third weapon to this offense, as opposed to we're going to overpay for a Darnell Mooney who, I don't know, what has he had? The best season he's ever had, like 400 yards? I couldn't believe he
had one big season.
Did he?
It was like 2 years ago. I was shocked because Mooney was a guy. He's a guy Jody thought he was, you know, Jerry Rice. I thought the Eagles could have gotten him for 1 year.
Oh, yeah, he had one 1,000 yard.
Yeah.
Last year he had 414 yards. The year before, 493.
Here's what it tells you. Even when, you know, I always call it 20 point score on a bad NBA team. Somebody's got to score 20 in the NBA. Worst team in the NBA, you got to have a score. Somebody's going to score.
Yeah.
That was Darnell Mooney on the Bears that 3 seasons ago, whatever it was, they immediately started looking for an upgrade. What does that tell you? They knew better. When Eric Wilson was brought in here, a blast from the past, everybody looked at his numbers in Minnesota, and he had 3 interceptions. He had all these tackles because he was playing for an injured, I think it was Anthony Barr that year, got injured.
Yeah.
And he played on a really bad defense, and he made some plays. And I said, this guy's not good. And the Eagles fans figured that out pretty quickly. And
they gave what? They gave Saquon 3 years, $37 million, right?
Yeah, it's not even about the contract for me.
What I'm saying is Darnell Mooney got 3 years, $39 million. So I would much rather put that money into Saquon than a third wide receiver with that skill set.
I see what you're saying, Bill. They're dropping the position out of it and saying Darnell Mooney, Saquon Barkley, what player makes a bigger difference on our team?
Look, I generally give Howie Roseman, people listen to me all the time now. I think generally he makes really good decisions. generally, I understand his thought process. I get all his spin. You know, I heard the weapon stuff. I heard the market correction stuff. Bottom line is he helped create that market. And everybody followed in his footsteps because he was right.
Yeah.
And now he's doing a 180. I think Xander's right. The pitchfork's got to him. And that's and I go back to Barnwell because people think I'm hating on Saquon Barkley. First of all, Saquon Barkley's a tremendously talented player. All indications, I've talked to him twice now. He's one of the best guys in that locker room. He's going to be a leader. He's a great player, but that doesn't change the on-the-field stuff. And nobody was scared of that New York offense. And you can blame whatever, blame the supporting cast and everything else. But this is Barnwell. This is not me. This is Bill Barnwell. So direct your hateful emails to him. So much of what Philadelphia has done this offseason feels like a reaction to what went wrong down the stretch during its brutal end to 2023. In other words, reactionary. You can't be reactionary. Their thought process on the running back position has proven to be the correct one. And they were reactionary about it because of what happened down the stretch of last season. Not only that, also the coordinators and the coaching moves and other stuff as well.
And I think they're in love with McCaffrey in San Francisco.
Well, yeah, he's their white whale. Yeah. But my whole point of this thing, Bill, is it's one guy where I think has made people think this offseason is phenomenal. And if you look, if you peel back the onion, that isn't there to say this guy's going to be Christian McCaffrey even light. Whenever there's no evidence of that.
That's what surprised me so much about the trade of Hassan Reddick, because when you went and you paid a Saquon Barkley what you paid him at running back, to me that signaled we're going all in this season. We're going to take a shot. We're going to pay a running back a ton of money who does have an injury history because we're going all in. But then you turn around and you trade Hassan Reddick. And I thought, once they traded Reddick, I'm still waiting for news that the New York Jets gave him this big new contract extension. And we haven't seen that yet, which is blowing my mind as to, well, then why did we have to trade Hassan Reddick? Why did you have to trade your best player?
You're not allowed to ask Howie about it too, which drove me nuts.
Well, he was unfair to. We asked him about
it. Unfair, and he almost put up a stink, like, "Hey, don't ask me about that."
Well, yeah, because the guy said for a conditional pick. Well, it wasn't conditional. Well, we understand it wasn't that. It was a true conditional pick, meaning you're getting one. But it.
I mean, we gave up our best player on defense for a 2026 draft pick, and we're not allowed to ask the general
manager what the thinking was. Now I'm going to defend Howie from the perspective of not he was unfair. That was Dave Uram. He should have answered the question, and he answered the question. You know, he's talked to us about it numerous times, but in the case of Hassan. I get it from your perspective, Bill. You're saying he hasn't gotten the rework deal with the Jets. Maybe he won't. But the Jets, and this happens all over the NFL, the Jets, in Hassan Reddick's mind, are not the Eagles. In other words, he didn't wreck the NFC Championship game for the Jets. He didn't have 30 and a half sacks in 38 games for the Jets. He did that for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
And they signed Bryce Huff for $17 million a year, and he's making $15 million a year. He's not playing on the final year of his contract here. He might have to do it there, but he ain't doing it here. There is no way you can bring him back and pay him less money than Bryce Huff.
No way. And I think, really, they should have given him an extension and given him a little more money. I would have been completely okay with giving him an extension, giving him a little bit more money. When they signed Bryce Huff, I was excited, but I said, I'm excited if you're pairing Bryce Huff with Hassan Reddick, not to replace Hassan Reddick. And that's essentially what they did. And we've seen this before. I mean, you look at the Chicago Bears last offseason, They went and said, here, you want our starting linebacker from last year? We got him in Nick Morrow, and they went and signed TJ Edwards. So the Jets were willing to let Bryce Huff walk out the door, and they think they've upgraded to Hassan Reddick. I just don't see how we got better by making that.
No, we didn't. And my biggest, like, it is, why go get Bryce Huff then? Like, if Hassan Reddick can play out the contract, though,
he's not
in New York.
He's not here. That's what I'm saying.
That's the thing. He wasn't
here. Not have here. That, so that,
and John's right. I talked to a couple people too who said Reddick wasn't going to play this year under that deal here in Philadelphia.
That's the only part I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and my thing is
doing with the Jets.
They should have given him an extension. Like, you have the money under the cap. We know the cap's going to go up again next season. I think you could have made Reddick happy, given him maybe a 2 or 3 year deal. Give him a little bit more money, and I think it would have been worth it, because especially, I know some people are saying, well, he's 30. Edge rushers can play as they're older. We're seeing it with Brandon Graham. He had his best season 2 years ago at, what, 33, 34 years old. So I'm not as concerned paying an edge rusher who's 30 years old as I would be paying a James Bradbury or Darius Slay, because the corners, you could see when they lose a step, it could be over.
Yeah, I was just talking specifically to the people who say he's playing under that contract with the Jets. He might, but he wouldn't have played under it here. Simple as that. All situations are not the same. So as long as you acknowledge, well, yeah, they had to tweak his deal. They had to give him something. They had to put him up above Bryce Huff. I'm okay with it because, yeah, I'm with you. It's very unlikely Bryce Huff is going to hit the ground running and be as impactful as Hassan Reddick. And that's the Eagles, that's up to their evaluation. It's not only about Hassan Reddick. That's what also pissed Howie off. It's about, you know, it's about Nolan Smith. He's got to get better.
Yeah.
It's about Bryce Huff. It's about Josh Sweat. He's got to get better than what he was.
Sweat's in a contract year. I mean, Sweat, if he has a good season, he's gone.
Number 19, Josh Sweat.
What is that? Hideous. Hideous.
Yeah terrible.
They should have told them no. No, you're not doing it.
Yeah, I don't know why he did that. Everybody make sure you follow Bill on Twitter, though, and all his social media, not just Twitter. Bill is, if you're an Instagram guy, Bill is excellent on Instagram, his YouTube channel, his Twitter account, even his Facebook. So Bill is a social media savant.
Trying, man. They got me on the air so much, I haven't been able to post as much as I like.
Yeah, but anybody, if you're out there on social media, make sure you do follow Bill. Bill, 10-2 today, right, on 97.5?
10-2. I'm going to be joined by Amy Fadul's co-hosting with me today. So Amy, she does a good job.
Love Amy. Amy's great. We've had her on Jacob a bunch, and she always does a good job for NBC Sports and 97.5. So good stuff there. Bill, thanks for joining the show, man. We appreciate you being here.
Appreciate you having me. I won't see you next week. I'll be sunbathing.
Yeah, congratulations,
Aruba,
Big Bill.
Enjoy it, buddy. If you're going golfing, if you find some time, there's going to be wind. So, you know, I don't know if you want to go there.
Always wind. Yeah. So. All right, boys. I appreciate you. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Bill. Thanks, man. There's Bill Colarulo joining the show. We appreciate Bill joining. About to be a married man on Saturday. So we thank Bill for coming on just a few days in advance of his wedding. We're going to have Jeff Kerr coming up in hour number two. Johnny Mack and I will come back after the commercial break, put a couple, a little preview of the week, of the week two of OTAs. Eagles are back out there today. Johnny Mack won't be back there till Thursday, but got to be something Johnny Mack is looking for, so we'll talk to him about that coming up next on Birds 365.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.